أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. We're talking about spirituality. So in this holy month, the month of spirituality, we want to discuss some concepts to know the guidelines by which we are supposed to reach the proximity of Allah, which is the goal of our creation, ubudiyyah, servitude to Allah, goal. How are we supposed to get there? We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set some laws to govern our lives based on. This complete set of laws, which the more you get into, the more you realize how divine it is, consists of different parts. Some of that dealt with our personal life. I mentioned two examples, the prayer and the fast, and we spoke about it a little bit. I want to get into another aspect of our lives. I think it's very important that we discuss here in the West, because of the problems that exist about this, in this regard. And that is the aspect of these laws that pertain to the family. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to conduct ourselves, to act in a certain way personally, to pray, to fast, to go to hajj. These are personal things that we have to do. Then, in society, in relation to others, we have certain responsibilities. We've got certain responsibilities that are not personal, that I do regardless of everybody else. One of them is the concept of the family. The family in Islam is a very, very sacred bond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates between a man and a woman. And from there, children come to be. The family is formed. Many, many of the laws that we have in Islam, either all of the reason for it, or part of the reason why those laws have been made, are because of protecting this family. Many, many. We won't get to go over all of them, but if we were to gather, there's a huge combination of laws that are all put there for the protection of the family. Now, this sacred bond starts with marriage. This session, we want to talk about this a little bit. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll talk about after the marriage itself, the relationship between husband and wife. And then, hopefully, the next day, if Allah gives us life, and we have the tawfiq to talk about the children and parents and the likes of that. Marriage and getting married has been something that from the old days, remember we're talking about spirituality, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From back in the old days, there was always this question that for some people, that if you want to get close to Allah, you stay away from this. In Christianity, for example, the spirituality in Christianity is minus relationship, intimate relationship between the opposite genders. If you want to be spiritual as a Christian, okay, you stay away from that. And of course we see the consequences. I don't know what you have here in Europe, how much Christianity you have left. But there's more so-called Christianity in the US, and this law of theirs that if you want to be a priest, you're not supposed to get married, has taken a lot of tolls. Every other day you hear about child molestation, or this crime or that crime, but this priest or that. That's the result of it. That can't be right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never made such a law in any religion. That's made up. So there was always this question. There's an individual by the name of Sakin or Sukayn al-Nakha'i. This person, this is the time of Imam al-Sadr. There's many different narrations. I picked this one to read. كانت تعبد وترك النساء والطيب والطعام. He wanted to worship more. He wanted to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a problem. There's a reason why I'm mentioning this. Now maybe some of us here haven't had that drive towards spirituality, which inshallah we hope that we get that. But once some of us get that, then we start having the same feelings. We feel like, oh, this is dirty, this is bad, this is not good, stay away from that. So this individual, he used to worship and he left women. He didn't get married and he wasn't around women. Wadib, cologne, perfume, whatever you want to call it. Al-ta'am, food. فَكَتَبَ إِلَىٰ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ يَسْأَلُهُ عَنْ ذَلِكِ He wrote to the sixth Imam asking about that. فَكَتَبَ إِلَيْهِ أَمَّا قَوْلُكَ فِي النِّسَاءِ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا كَانَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ About your question about women, is there anyone that's more spiritual than the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم? Any more spiritual than Amir al-Mu'mineen صلّى الله عليه? You know that the Prophet had wives. He didn't stay away from women. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُكَ فِي الطَّعَامِ فَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَأْكُلُ اللَّحْمَ وَالْعَسَلَ About food too. Why are you staying away from food in the name of spirituality? This is happening right now, right here in the West, brothers and sisters. People are staying away from that. In the name of spirituality, there's instructions that come. Oh, don't eat meat for this many days or that many days or at all, whatever. That's not the teaching. This is يَأْكُلُ اللَّحْمِ He used to eat meat and honey. These two examples, one of them meat. A lot of people talk about that when you want to talk about spirituality. Think about that. Leave meat out because it strengthens your shahwa. It gives you more shahwa, it gives you this, it makes you more animalistic and all of that. Become a vegetarian. No, that's not the sunnah of the Prophet. We said that the path for spirituality is not made up. It's not something that you and I put together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, it's obedience to Him. He says you don't do that. About this concept of the marriage, there's a few things that we want to discuss and I want to mention here. First thing is that according to the ahadith, early marriage is important, brothers and sisters, in and of itself, before getting into the next point that I want to say. Early marriage is something that has been emphasized in the ahadith. Here it's very difficult. There's no such thing as early marriage, or rarely there is early marriage. in cases that marriage becomes actually wajib, brothers and sisters. And I think for most of us, it is wajib. For most of the brothers at least, that I know, I'm a man and I feel what men feel, okay? It's wajib if you're not married. Because the ruling is, and this is a fact, if you're fearful of committing sins, not that you are committing sins, if you're fearful of committing sins, it becomes wajib to get married. It's wajib. All the other obstacles that we think of, that's because we're prioritizing other things, we're putting other things before the will of God and what He's asked us. That's exactly what we're doing. Remember, we said obedience to Allah is prioritizing, putting the priorities where they belong. Not putting something that's less of a priority before something that's more of a priority. Some of these obstacles deal with us, some of them deal with the culture that we live in. Some of us, regardless of the culture, we have this view that if you want to have a good life here, live a good life and a comfortable life, you need to have a job, right? You can't live without a job. You gotta study. So during the time that we study, we don't want to get married. We think that marriage is an obstacle for studying, for learning. What is that a priority for? What is that studying going to get you to? Is it worth it? Yeah, I go to a college, there's a girl sitting beside me here, there's a girl there, and all kinds of thoughts, the harams that we just discussed before this, and ala ayyadu billah, all kinds of other things that we get into. It's wajib, brothers and sisters. Don't tell me it's not possible. Don't tell me it's not possible. If you say it's not possible, go to the second problem. You're either thinking that it gets in the way of your studies, which I will tell you, if you're actually wanting to study, it won't prevent you from doing that. If you're actually wanting to study. I know people who wanted to study, and that was the reason why they weren't getting married. But they ended up not finishing their studies and not getting married. And what is the cost? The cost of every sin is going to be double the sin, because I have a wajib responsibility that I'm not doing, and there's a haram that I'm committing. For a number of years, you want to get back on track and move towards Allah. Every step, every sin is moving us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's dangerous, brothers and sisters. Committing those sins is not just committing a sin. This is something I think I mentioned last time. The reminder. إِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Good to remind. Sins are very dangerous. We hear that if you are believing in the Ahlul Bayt, you have the love of the Ahlul Bayt, everything is forgiven. You have Shafa'ah, you have this, all kinds of other things that I don't want to get into the details of, because much of it is there. We do have a hadith like that. If one dies as a Shia, they die with that belief, not Shia the way we described. That Shia that we described a few nights ago, that's a complete person. If they die like that, then they're going to be going, they're deserving to go to paradise. But if they die with this belief in the imamat of the Ahlul Bayt, we have hadith, they're going to be going to paradise, even if they committed sins. But the biggest problem is that there's no guarantee, brothers and sisters, that you and I would stay on this path. And sins play an important role in that. ثُمَّ كَانَ عَقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا السُّوءَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. These actions of sins and disobedience to Allah weakens the faith to the extent that this verse says the outcome and the end result of those who did bad was that they kadhabu bi ayatillah. They denied the signs of Allah. One of the reasons why some people did not accept the religion in Islam at the time of the Prophet and others did was because of their actions. And even now, in the West, some people hear it, they listen to it, it's all logical, but they don't accept it. Why? Because of the actions. Studies, brothers and sisters, yeah, maybe if you engage in your studies without being married, you get some extra time, of course. As I said, most of us, if we're not married and we're studying, we're not maximizing our time on studying either. A lot of video games, a lot of flirting, things that we get occupations, just the occupations change. Before that, we did what we liked, just hanging around all over the place, going to restaurants and different places. Then afterwards, there's obligations. I don't like to do it, I don't feel like doing it, but I have to do it because there's an obligation. That's the difference for most of us. For some of us, yes, we have a lot of talent. We can study more, and we aren't occupied with all of that too much. But then when we get married, we're going to get occupied with all that. There's a lot of obligations, and that means I can't study that well. Well, what's the cost? Remember prioritization? Okay, you have one thing. You're giving, you're taking one, you're giving the other, you're leaving the other. What are you gaining and what are we leaving? What are we missing? Is it worth it? Is it? Is it worth moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that extent that God knows, especially living out here, God knows maybe some of us would end up, when the Imam comes, instead of going and helping him, we'll end up designing things to go against the Imam with the knowledge that we have, engineering or medicine or whatever. There's a lot of professionals, Muslim professionals in the West. What are they doing? What are we doing here? Just life is comfortable, everything is okay, whatever, wherever we work, whatever institution, whatever we're helping. Be careful of that. So that's one obstacle. Another obstacle is sometimes we're okay with it. Please give me a wife, I'm fine with it. But the culture doesn't allow it. Whose father is going to allow me to marry their daughter? I mean, 19, 18, 17, these are good ages, brothers, in our dreams, but this is the right age. Unfortunately, we can't even talk about that. 20, who's going to allow that to happen? It's a problem of culture, inshallah, I'll get to in a little bit. It's not worth it, brothers and sisters. None of that is worth it. So, Islamically, in and of itself, early marriage is something that is good. It helps your spirituality, brothers and sisters. This is a fact. We have many different hadith on this. A healthy marriage, getting married, having that type of relationship with, the intimate relationship with one's wife or one's husband, with the spouse, is good for the spirituality, brothers and sisters. Yeah, it's okay if you smile. It's good for the spirituality. It's not bad. Another point that I want to... These are some bullet points that I have on my mind regarding this concept of marriage. Another concept that we get to is... Okay, we want to get married. Who do we get married to? Spouse selection. Before we get into who we get married to... Hadith, we have Kufu, and I'll explain that in a little bit. How do we do this? How do we know the spouse that we want to get married to. It's very common for us that have been raised in the West to follow the Western way of doing it. I know many, many religious brothers and sisters that are on Facebook, email, chat, whatever. Boys that have all kinds of girls in their list, and there's constant communication there. Talking about things that are not necessary, there's nothing special about it. And you get to want to marry somebody, you're like, okay, we need somewhere to talk, engage in conversations for a couple hours a day, for a period of time, 3-4 months, we're still not set who we're going to get married to, if that's the right person. What are we trying to get out of that? This is not the way we're supposed to do it, brothers and sisters, Islamically. This is not. We can't have these extensive talks, whether it's on the phone or in person, at a coffee shop or whatever, or online, chatting. And it could lead to a lot of dangerous places, brothers and sisters. Be careful of that. That's not what Islam says. That's not the advice that we get. And I would like to add to that, you're still not going to know who you're getting married to. I mean, you have people that are Westerners. They speak to one another for years, and after that they get married, and two days, 2 months, 2 years, whatever, after that they get divorced. For those who are married, they know what I'm talking about. You're never going to know your spouse before you live with them. Never going to know them inside out if that's what you want to get to. There's certain criterions that you're supposed to look for, and the way to find it is not to speak to them and ask them, what do you think about this? Oh, I said, I'll think of the best thing that... That's the way it happens. And that's only in words. Reality is different. Yes. Every Thursday we'll go out. That's not going to come true. So first of all, that's not what Islam says. That's not healthy. Don't get engaged in that. The other point is, you're not going to know your spouse like that before marriage. You're not. Trust me. If you don't want to trust me and you experience it, you're going to hate yourself afterwards. You're not going to know that. The way to know it would be done. This is not just culture. That we get to, this is what we find in Hadith, to get to know the families. See what type of family she lived in, she was in, or he was in. Friends. Get to know what type of friends she or he has had. That's important. She's got a good family, or he's got a good family, but the friends are hanging around or not, that religious, well, you can kind of guess what type of personality he's got. Or she's got it. These are the ways to come to know it. Then at the end stage, you can go and start talking and see, okay, what are some of the views that she has? And see them and see if you're interested or not. Not from the beginning. First, I see the picture. Do I like the looks? First step. Second, well, let's talk. Do I like her voice? Do I like the way she talks? Is she funny? Or is it enjoyable? Does she like what I like? Talk about colors? I don't know, all kinds of stuff. Okay. That's not the way it happens. That's not right. The criterions, we need to first know what they are. Then the way to go and find them out is first know what the family's like. See what type of friends they are hanging around. And then after all that seems right, you ask the friends what type of person they are. If all that is okay, then you can go and speak and see what type of person they are. What is the criterion that we are looking for? The emphasis that we have in the Ahadith is a concept of, if I want to summarize all of it, the word kufu is used, a match. You, she's got to be your match. What is a match? Islamically, what the matter is, the most important thing, the most important thing is the iman, the faith, religion that they have. How religious are they? About this, okay, we have two extremes. One extreme is people just don't care about it. Some of the youth, it's not as important. Maybe I'm a little religious, but when it comes to the issue of marriage, I found someone that's the most gorgeous girl that I've seen. That's it. She's not religious. It's okay. I'll change her. She's not wearing hijab. It's okay. I'll change that. She's not praying. She's not. No, that's not going to happen. Not that it's not going to happen. There's no guarantee that it's not going to happen. Don't fool yourself. That's not what we have, Hadithi. You don't want to take that risk. You're starting a bond that you are supposed to try to make it such that it goes on until one of you leaves this world. Not again that cultural view that there's no way to divorce and you come in the house with white clothes and you leave in white clothes. It's not what Islam says either. But I want to try to make the right choice so we don't get divorced. Divorce, brothers and sisters, although the divorce rates here in the West, amongst the Muslims and amongst the Shia, unfortunately, is very high. There's a hadith I read today from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, you want to recite the salawat, recite one right. He said that Jibra'il, the angel, advised me so much about women and the wife that I thought the only person that you can divorce is a wife that has committed adultery. Other than that, you're not supposed to. The most hated halal is divorce. It's not something to go for. It's not the best thing to do. It is there. Sometimes we have to do it. There's no question. But we're talking about marriage right now. When you want to make that first choice, you got to make it right. Not say, oh, we'll make this choice. Let's see what happens. Tawakkal to halal. No, that's not tawakkal. It's a wrong impression of tawakkal. This kufr, we said one aspect of the emphasis, the most important part of that is the iman and the faith. One extreme is, it's not important, either at the beginning it's not important, which I advise, like if you want to have an enjoyable life, if you want to have an enjoyable life, okay, in this world, take that condition serious. Because if you don't, there's a lot of chances that you're not going to have an enjoyable life. Someone that's not religious. I'm not saying it's impossible. Yeah, there are people that are enjoying it, but by the way, my mom's side of the family, none of them are Muslim. Okay. So I am around non-Muslims. I've lived with them. You're not necessarily not going to enjoy it, but there's a lot of chance that you're not. That's not going to happen. On the other hand, if you have someone that's actually religious, not just on the surface, not just saying it, then you're going to have a real enjoyable life. Both sides, brothers and sisters. Now, this is one extreme. The other extreme is this, that I can't find any religious person to get married to. Anyone that you think is religious, to them, it's not religious. I know guys that are like that. I know girls that are like that. Lord, have mercy on us. What is it that we're looking at? Are we trying to marry the ma'soom? We have flaws. Everybody's got flaws. What is this iman that is spoken of? The criterion for this iman, brothers and sisters, the flaws that we have, is that we've got to be such that we believe in Allah, which we can't see that, by the way, but the practical aspect of that that we can see, the tangible part of it is, that one is trying to practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. spouses are actually trying to obey Allah, the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put, and the akhlaqiyat, the morals of Islam, believe me, you'll have the most enjoyable life. A lot of times we don't get to know what these laws are. A lot of times we don't want to practice it, and then we start having a problem in the family. So anyway, what is important is this drive internally to want to practice it. Maybe I have a flaw here, I'm not exactly practicing that there, but I'm trying to practice it. Don't get married to someone that's not trying, they don't care. This is what Islam says, who cares? I like to do this. Islam says, wear hijab. I don't feel like it. Well, that's not right. Islam says you can't, for the guys, you can't speak to a non-mahram like that. You can't shake hands. You can't do any more than that either. That's haram. That's too difficult. It's haraj, or just trying to find some fatwa that allows it. If one is trying to apply Islam to their life, that's the criteria, that's what you need. Beyond that, inshallah, we'll try to work on ourselves. We'll try to, when we get married, it's not the end of things, it's the beginning of things. We work on ourselves, the spouse works on themselves, and we try to help one another in that as well. That's one aspect. The aspects of liking one, you know, the guy or the girl liking their spouse's looks, that's something that's obviously there. We're not going to get married to someone that's ugly in our view, because the tastes are different. You know, someone you may consider is very ugly, somebody else, you know, they're the most gorgeous piece of the creation in the world. But that's there. Okay. Don't, in the name of spirit of religion, get married to someone that's very religious that you don't like, you just hate their looks. You're going to face problems later on. Anyway, in this kufr, there's an aspect of culture here too. In culture, a lot of people are not considered a match. In some cultures, a sayyid and a non-sayyid are not considered a match. It's a sin. In some cultures, it's a different story, some other limitation. This is not what Islam tells us, brothers and sisters. What is important for the match is iman, the status, money, family. This person's from this country, that person's from that country. This guy's this, that girl's that. None of that is important to Islam. Because of this concept of culture that I mentioned here, and also the culture of not allowing the youth to get married in an early age, I would like to discuss very briefly the concept of culture in Islam. There's a verse in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, three of them, we'll have to read all three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah, verses 168 through 170 says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ O people, eat from the halal that we've provided on the earth, which is pleasant, and do not follow the footsteps of shaytan, he is your clear enemy. إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ The only thing that shaytan wants to do is that he orders you to do wrong and fahsha, corruption. And to say upon Allah what you do not know. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ This is a combination of these three. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُوا مَا أَلْفَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ لَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ And if they are told, follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, they will say, we want to follow what our parents were doing. And the verse ends with, even if the parents, the forefathers, did not understand a thing, you still want to follow them? This is an interesting verse. If we want to break it up and look into the details of it, the verse starts with, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. The context of the verses before that was talking to the mu'mineen. In this verse, it's addressing all people. And that context is talking to the people of Mecca and Medina. This is in Surah Baqarah, of course, it's in Medina when it's revealed. To the Muslims and non-Muslims, to the mushrikeen as well. It's interesting, some of the verses of the Holy Quran that talk about the laws, they emphasize don't commit the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden upon you. This verse doesn't go like that. This verse says, take from the halal, you have to. And don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. What are the interpretations of that? That some may come to mind, I don't know if anybody's interpreted like that. Something that when you read it, and read the translation, you think of it this way. It says, take from the halal, and don't follow shaitan. Okay, do what's halal, don't get into haram. But that's not what it's trying to say. The three verses are together. What is it trying to say? It says, oh, mushrikeen and many, everybody, all people. You have got to consider what Allah has considered halal as halal. And take pleasure in that. You can't make what Allah has made halal, haram. You can't do that. Before explaining that second verse, 168, I would like to go to 170, which is that aspect of the culture that I want to emphasize on. And it says, when we tell them, follow what God has revealed, they say, we'll go with what the forefathers have said. That's exactly what the culture is. What is culture? Culture is do and don't, based on what? Based on what the previous people did. That's where it came from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. You don't have that right. What the mushrikeen used to do, they would consider certain things haram upon themselves. It's interesting, weird why they would do that, but they did that. They had some laws. Some of it is mentioned, and some of it is very oppressive. They used to say, if they killed an animal, slaughtered it properly, women could not eat from the good parts of that, at least. But if it died, a dead animal, women can eat it too. That's part of their laws that they had put. And other laws as well. You can't, the emphasis isn't on the haram that is made halal. The emphasis is on halal that is made haram in this verse. You don't have the right to change that. The address is to all people, Muslim, non-Muslim. It's not right. And the reasoning behind it is also mentioned. It says, halalan tayyib. What Allah has made lawful, it is tayyib. It is pleasant for you. There's a reason why God created that. And there's a reason why you enjoy it. Why Allah has made you enjoy that. It's good for you. It helps you. The culture, brothers and sisters, if we want to do something that is common amongst the people, we want to choose to do something, that's not necessarily wrong. That's not what we're saying. Okay. But the important thing is, when it says you're making something halal as haram, it has a couple of aspects. One is, individually, I completely stay away from it. I don't say God has made this haram, but I choose to completely stay away from this. That is condemning this verse. That is condemning. If something God has said is halal, you may not like the taste of this, you know, I've never had this particular fruit in my life, okay? But I'm not keeping myself from it. What this verse is condemning is to keep yourself from it without Allah having made it haram. That's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. And more important, which is the topic of these, of this discussion here, is not about the personal part of it, forcing others to do it. Making others to do it. Keeping others from eating something, or making them to do something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made obligatory. We don't have the right to do that. That culture is wrong, brothers and sisters, where you're forcing. Again, it's okay to do something that's in the culture, but to force myself or anybody else, that is what this verse is talking about. Making something that is halal, haram. And the reasoning for it, I want to use it in this particular topic of marriage, is very interesting. It says, when it wants to say, don't make something that is halal as haram, it doesn't mention it in this wording. The wording is this. It says, take from the halal, eat from the halal. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Making something haram that was actually halal by Allah, it's lawful, that is following the footsteps of shaitan. And then the reasoning, or what is said after that in verse 169 is إِنَّهُ after saying, sorry, that's part of 168 still, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ, it's your clear enemy. It says, إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He's not telling you to make this haram for your benefit. You think it's beneficial. You think it's beneficial to postpone marriage because this guy does not have a job. That's shaitan. You think it is beneficial to postpone this marriage because of that. You think it is beneficial, a taboo topic that I'm going to mention, to consider mut'a halal. That's halal by Allah, not by you and I, it's Allah has made that lawful. Amongst, in our culture, in our Shia culture, we consider it bad. One of the reasonings that is mentioned, interestingly, is because it leads to sin. That's what is said. Well, I'm sorry, but that is the word of shaitan. إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَىٰ. He's not telling you to stay away from that because it's good for you. No. When you stay away from halal, you are definitely going to fall into haram. That's what he's trying to get you to. There's loads of hadith in that regard. The halal is put there for you to enjoy. You don't want to do that, you're going to get into sin. When you hear a whisper in your ear that tells you to stay away from halal, that whisper is not divine. That whisper is shaitanic. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be his true companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to his true path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us strength to practice only and only what he has said. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all our mulajah, especially our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents and all those who taught us a word in Islam of their sins. Bin Nabi wa Ali, Muhammad Allah, Quran, Fatiha, and Salah.